It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
And it's a little bit late, but I believe it's still appropriate to wish folks a happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day was yesterday, of course, and I hope that you all had a great one. I've been on Facebook this morning, and I've seen about a million posts of all the great things that you all did with your moms. And if you are a mom, all the great things that your kids and your husbands and your loved ones did for you. And it's kind of always the same, right? You know, the breakfast in bed and the kids help make the breakfast. I mean, oh, how quaint, right? America is so wonderful, and we love these traditions that we have, and Mother's Day with the flowers and the balloons. And Erica Pierce from Radio City here just showed me a fantastic trophy, a little gift that her little boy made for her, and it's just fantastic. So I hope you had a really great one. For my part, I had my middle son and my eldest son down at my mom's in San Diego, and it was wonderful. And it was cold. I mean, my mom has a pool, and of course the 8-year-old wanted to go in the pool. And he wanted to drag me in there, and I went in there too, and it was absolutely freezing. Not the water, but the breeze. And I, you know, I'm from down there, and I thought, oh gosh, I really love the weather, and it was so cold yesterday. I thought, well, I want to get back to the valley where it's warmer. Then I go outside this morning, and it's blowing a frozen Arctic wind. I actually brought a blanket to the studio today. I have a one of them throws on my legs. An idiot, I wore shorts, and then I brought this comfy, cozy blanket. I'm sitting here right now, and of course, Blake Taylor's like, oh, you brought your blankie? Yeah, Blake, I brought my blankie. I'm cold. I don't understand why it's Arctic chill here in Fresno. I was happy to get away from that in San Diego yesterday, and now I'm... So we've got San Diego weather anyway. If that's something that appeals to you, we have it. And I guess it's about to get really, really hot, and it's going to be that way for a very long time. So I can discard my blankie. I'm just ruminating right now. The voice you hear, of course, is Clint Olivier. I'm always happy to be here carrying Ray Appleton's clipboard. Ray will be back on Wednesday. Diane Pierce will be in here operating the machine tomorrow, but I'm happy to be with you for the next 3 hours. I was thinking, and I was telling Blake this too. We're gonna go over the same topics that you come to expect from us here at KMJ. I mean, it's not okay. It's not the routine. It's not the same boring topics, because every day is different. Every day the headline is different. Every day the story topic is different. You call in, you have a different take on things. So it's not the same. But a lot of the stuff that is going on out there is the same stuff that we've been talking about for the past couple of years. And the one thing I really wanted to kind of talk about is coronavirus, right? What are we calling that now? COVID still? And it just so I was out this weekend quite a bit with Karsten, my 8-year-old, and the baby stayed at home. He stayed with Alicia, which was great, because I could have never made that trip down to San Diego alone with a 2-year-old in the back seat of the car. So that was good. But we went to the Angels game yesterday on our way back from San Diego. We stopped off, and if you're a regular listener of the show and you happen to cross paths with me, you know that the 8-year-old is really into baseball. So I thought, you know what, let me coordinate this so that we can take in an Angel game on our way back to the Valley. And so we did. And we saw the people there, and most didn't have masks on, but there were some. I mean, there were some folks. We were out not just at the Angels, but different places over the course of the weekend. And, you know, some people are wearing masks and most are not. And it kind of occurred to me, and I'm not sure if this, look, anytime I say anything, it's not scientific. I'm not a physician. I'm not a scientist. Neither are you, really, for the most part. But, it kind of occurred to me, is this, because I think we're in a surge, and I'll Google it and get the latest news report here, and we can kind of go through that together. But it seems to me that we're in a surge of it right now. It seems to me that we're in a, okay, uh-oh, here we go. From CNN, our trusted news source, the headline here is, here's what the White House's grim coronavirus warning means for you. Oh, remember the long, cold, horrible winter, and now they've got a grim warning for us. It says, you don't make the timeline, the virus makes the timeline. And that was Dr. Anthony Fauci's message for, I haven't said that name in a long time, thank God. That was Dr. Anthony Fauci's message for an anxious nation when the novel coronavirus first began to spread across the U.S. More than 2 years later, his words have new relevance in the face of a disturbing warning from the White House. CNN's reporting that the Biden administration is issuing a new warning that the U.S. could potentially see 100 million COVID-19 infections this fall and winter, as officials publicly stress the need for more funding from Congress to prepare the nation. The projection of 100 million potential infections. And remember, what's the population of the United States? I'm going to guess, what's it, 350 million? So they're saying one third of us, about, are going to get infected. It says a projection of potential infections is an estimate based on a range of outside models that are being closely tracked by the administration. Blah, 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 blah. Officials say this estimate is based on an underlying assumption of no additional resources or extra mitigation measures being taken, including new COVID-19 funding from Congress or dramatic new variants. So my question, I don't know, for you, for CNN, for the interwebs, I mean, whatever you want to call it, is this living with coronavirus? Is this what it looks like? Last week, I was in the waiting room at Children's Hospital with Colton, the 2-year-old, with Alicia, and we were in there. The waiting room was packed. It was cold and cough symptoms. It was what you would expect a Children's Hospital waiting room in emergency to look like. And don't worry, Colton is fine. He is dumb. He scratched his eyeball and scratched his cornea, and it was awful. And you know what it's like when the kids get sick or get injured, it's a nightmare. Well, I mean, you can't downplay the significance of the eye and then the pain one can experience when you get hurt in your eye. I've been stuck in the eye before, and it's not pleasant. So imagine being a 2-year-old, and the only way that you can express yourself or advocate for yourself is to point to your face and say, I. Anyway, we went in. They're wonderful there. They're absolutely amazing over there at Children's Hospital. And they were able to take care of Colton and put the eye drops in. It turned out the way you're thinking it turned out, and praise God for it. So the baby's okay. But so I've been, the point is that I've been in a hospital emergency room waiting room, and yes, they're packed. Yes, there are a lot of folks in there. And so my question is this what living with coronavirus is like? Is this, and maybe even the bigger question, is this what it would have looked like had the government and the public health authorities and the people who know things and the muckety-mucks who run this joint had said, okay, there's this virus, it's out there, it's very contagious, and it makes people sick, and it affects these certain segments of people. You can wear a mask if you want. You can get a vaccine if you want. You can socially distance if you want. You can stay home. I mean, but stay home if you get sick, right? Wash your hands, right? Wear a mask if you feel like you need one, okay. But they didn't do that. They shut down the entire global economy. And some places are still in lockdown. I don't know. I haven't checked the headlines recently about Shanghai over in China, but that place has been a disaster with the zero COVID policy. But I'm wondering, because right now we're in the Swedish model, right? Isn't this what Sweden did? And places like Florida here in the United States did. Where they just said, okay, we're going to live with it. We're going to treat those people who are most vulnerable. We're going to do what we can in terms of public health and public policy to protect those vulnerable populations. We're going to make sure that their needs are addressed. And everyone who's not affected by this, take mitigation measures. But we're going to live with it. So here we are 2 years later, and I'm up against a break, and we're going to come back and talk about it more. But here we are 2 years after, and the news has moved on. They've moved on like, what, three stories from COVID. Because we've got the Ukraine thing, which is still all over the place. CNN is eating that up. I'm looking at it right now. And now we're on the Roe versus Wade thing and the leak at the Supreme Court and everything. So the sky fell over Ukraine. Well, the sky fell over COVID, and I'm not trying to diminish it. But that was the thing it was the thing until we had the civil unrest over the murder of George Floyd. And then COVID took a back seat. I mean, go outside and protest and hug one another and fight one another and burn things and steal things and we'll have civil unrest. Oh, but then when that ended, they went back to COVID, right? And then the sky was falling over Ukraine. And again, I'm not trying to diminish the whole Ukraine's fiasco. And then we've got the Roe versus Wade thing and the Supreme Court, this leaked document. And COVID is kind of gone. So without them to push this at us, Is this what it would have been like at the beginning had we not had such an authoritarian response from our governments over it? Because it seems like I'm reading there's a surge, people are sick, everybody, I mean, nothing has really changed, it seems. Yes, there are the vaccines now, but it seems like nothing has really changed, but it's now that it's personal responsibility. And in my opinion, it should have been that way from the very beginning. 490-5858 is the number to call. Producer Mike Martinez is opening up the phone lines if you want to talk about, is this what it would have been like? 800-776-5858. We'll pay for your call. No, I'm interested. And then when we come back, I want to talk about something Bill Gates said. He's the vaccine guy, right? He's the public health guy and the overpopulation guy and the take away your plastic straws guy. He's now saying kind of what I'm saying. Does that make me smart? Hey, it's Clint in for Ray. News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJnow.com.
So I'm going to bounce around a little bit today, but that's good, right? Because you're getting into your car, you're getting out of your car, you only listen for a few minutes at a time, maybe. I especially love those of you who are out there working on the job site, working in the oil field, working or working at home in the kitchen or whatever you happen to be doing, and you just leave it on all day. Those are my favorite listeners. But if you're one of the automobile listeners who get in and get out of the car, then that's okay. So I'm going to jump around a little bit. And so we're going to go back to baseball, I think, pretty much all day long. And if you don't like baseball, that's too bad, because I'm going to talk about it because it's my favorite sport. My son, Karsten, the 8-year-old, he loves baseball and he's really into it. And you've heard me talk about it a number of times here. So, you know, the whole COVID-19 thing kept us pent up for a couple of years. The first season, there was no baseball. And then the second season, they had a fake baseball season. Dodger fans, you know who you are when I talk about the fake baseball season and the fake world championship, Dodger fans. So we were pent up. We couldn't get out. And I've got this kid, and he loves to go to baseball games. And there's so much baseball here in California. In terms of Major League Baseball in Fresno, we have this beautiful gem called the Fresno Grizzlies. But we didn't get out much. So now we're starting to get out. Anyway, so Saturday we were down in San Diego visiting my mom for Mother's Day weekend. And we woke up early. We thought, let's go into San Diego. So she's in Oceanside, which is 45 minutes north of the city of San Diego. So we got in the car, just Karsten and myself, and we drove down to San Diego, And I thought, well, what are we going to do? So we pass a sign that says Legoland, and he kind of, oh, Legoland. Yeah, let's go to that. No, that's kind of not what I want to do today. So we kept driving south, and then there were signs of SeaWorld exit, SeaWorld. And I thought, you know, maybe I could take him to SeaWorld, but that's what, $4,000 for a day at SeaWorld. I exaggerate, but this stuff's not cheap. Feeding those fish every day is not cheap. And so we kept driving south on I-5, and then we got to San Diego, and out in the harbor is that old aircraft carrier, the USS Midway, and he would like that. I thought, well, maybe we'll go to that. So we went to MCRD, which is Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego. And this is where, if you join the Marines west of the Mississippi River, you go to training at MCRD, and that's in downtown San Diego. And then you spend a month at Camp Pendleton, and then you go back to downtown. So I thought, oh, well, I'll take him over there, and maybe there's an on-base museum or something. I could show Karsten some old artillery pieces or something like that. And so we tried to get in, and they didn't let me in. I said, well, I'm a veteran of the Marines, and I went through boot camp here. Let us in. I want to show my son the different things. No, you know, I had to have a veteran's card, and I didn't have one, and I guess I need to get that. And so anyway, they didn't let us in. Semper Fi, boys. And then I thought, well, I'll take him to the ballpark. So we drove downtown, and San Diego has a downtown. Pardon me. San Diego has the downtown ballpark, and that's the trend. You know, back in the old days, they had Jack Murphy Stadium, which was kind of out further from downtown, and it's, you know, lots and lots and lots of parking. Same thing with Anaheim Stadium and Dodger Stadium, you know. But the trend has been downtown ballpark for what? I guess about the last 20 years. We have one here in Fresno. We have a downtown ballpark that I guess was riding that wave of, well, revitalize your downtowns, put a beautiful ballpark in, and then it's going to be a lot of fun for folks. So Petco Park is where the Padres play in downtown San Diego. And it is. I mean, there's no parking around there at all, really, unless you're in a parking structure. And it's, I mean, it's beautiful. This place is gorgeous. If you're a baseball fan, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. They were, you know, taking out old buildings to revitalize down there, and they ended up finding one that was built in, you know, around the turn of the last century. They actually incorporated it as part of the outfield. So if you're sitting there at home plate and looking out of the outfield at Petco Park, there's this old brick building there that's actually part of the ballpark, and there are bars in there, and the corner of the building is actually the foul pole. So it's really fascinating. Anyway, so we're on this tour, and you get to go in the press box, and you get to go down and into the visitor's dugout, not the Padres dugout. We were in the visitor's dugout. The guy's like, stop touching, stop touching. And of course, Karsten goes for the bullpen telephone, right? He wants to pretend to talk to the relief pitchers on the bullpen phone. But we're in this hallway. Okay, here's why I've been talking for 10 minutes about the ballpark, because I'm setting something up. We go into the hallway right behind home plate, and all the ballparks happen. And there's the tour guide says there's where the umpires go. And look at where the umpires go, and obviously it's just a hallway with a door. But there's a sign by the door that says umpires. And beneath that, the tour guide pointed out, it's in Braille. I'm not kidding you. The umpire's door has a sign in Braille that says, this is where the umpires go. And you know what? It's because everybody notices it and has a good chuckle and laughs, but the Braille part of the sign is worn down and dirty because people, oh, this is so hilarious. The umpires have a sign so that they know where to go in Braille. And so, I mean, the stereotype is, I mean, how many times you go to a game, whether it's youth baseball or professional baseball or Major League Baseball, is it, can't you see? And especially this season, I would say the umpires are terrible this year. They're missing calls. They're ejecting pitchers. Pitchers are arguing balls and strikes. Yesterday, they ejected some guy from the dugout who is arguing balls and strikes because these guys are so awful. And then you go into the ballpark and the sign on the door of the umpire's office is in Braille. So look, I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying that the umpires are bad. I'm not saying that the umpires vision is impaired. But the sign on the door is in Braille. So, of course, I took a picture. Everybody's taking a picture and has a good laugh over that. But good grief. It's true. It's true. And there's proof. I put it on my Facebook page. If you want to see the umpire's sign in Braille so that they got to know where to find their office, right, to get ready. So the sign is up. And that was a lot of fun. It sure was. And so at noon, in about half an hour, we're going to be joined by Derek Franks, the general manager of the Fresno Grizzlies. He's going to be in here to talk baseball, talk some Fresno baseball, talk about some of the stuff they've got going on. And I haven't talked to Blake Taylor about this, but Blake, I know you listen all the time. You are welcome to join us for our noon discussion, even if you just pop in a little bit to talk about baseball. Of course, Blake Taylor was a big deal baseball player in the day. And so we'd love to have him and you involved in our conversation. It's actually going to be an awful lot of fun. So Derek Franks from the Grizzlies coming in at noon. The phone lines are open. Mike, do we have any calls? No calls. What's the matter today? It's Monday morning, and I always get called in on a Monday morning. But look, I'm really interested in this COVID thing. I'm really interested in your opinion. I mean, I'll give you my opinion, but I'm really interested in, is this the way that we're living now in terms of going out, in terms of going to work, in terms of our kids, in terms of the schools, in terms of, I mean, we're living the Swedish model, right? In terms of coronavirus. Like I said, I was at two ballparks in 2 days this weekend. Some people wear masks, others don't. That's great. More power to you. If you're one of those people that wears one, that's fantastic, because we're now in the stage of personal responsibility. And the COVID people, and by the COVID people, I mean the public health officials and the Biden administration. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're trying to get back into the headlines because we are in a surge. This is from CNN. Already cases of COVID-19 are rising again. Infections have increased by more than 50% compared with the previous week in at least 8 states. Parts of New York State have moved into the high designation of COVID-19 community level, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And they're warning of 100 million of us in America here being affected by coronavirus, catching it this fall. What's the difference between last year, what is this, May of 2021, and then right now? It's just not in the headlines. And people are over it. Hey, I'm not over it. I want to talk about it. 490-5858 or 800-776-5858. It's Clint Olivier in for Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now. KMJNow.com.
Welcome back. I'm taking the day off, well, kind of, because, of course, being here is just 3 hours to be with you. And then, of course, there's the prep time, too. But taking a little bit of time out of my day, my usual day job as the CEO of the Business Federation of the Central Valley. And we are really growing. We're getting a lot of new members, and the coalition is growing. This month, we've welcomed Valero, which I know you know their filling stations that you see. They need some political advocacy, so they are our newest member. We're very excited to have them come aboard. We also welcome the Kern County Farm Bureau to the coalition. And obviously, you know, if you're in ag and water's your thing and supply chain obviously is a big deal, you can't get fertilizer. Hey, we're not going to be able to eat. So I'm glad that Kern County Farm Bureau has come aboard. We're very eager to take up their issues. And, of course, we do have the Fresno County Farm Bureau. So now we've got the two most productive farm bureaus in the United States as members. And so, yeah, we're working hard. We're growing the coalition, and we're really out there. I had an op-ed running. It ran last week to talk about energy policy in the state of California, which is a complete disaster. So, yeah, BizFed is doing really well. I'm been able to do an awful lot of it because Ray has not been on vacation. He's been feeling good, so I haven't been here. So I've been working my day job, and I'm really excited about that. So if you're out there and you're a government relations person, you're a CEO or a VP, something, for a company that needs advocacy, we'd love to have you come aboard BizFed, and I'm easy to find, very easy to find. So find me, and let's talk about that. Okay, I'm just trying to figure out at 490-5858 or 800-776-5858, I'm just trying to figure out if we are in a similar coronavirus surge to last year's. And we just don't really know it because it's not in the headlines. Okay, and then as I say that, I look up at the screen and the coronavirus people got on CNN. Let's see, 10 million Americans have received second booster dose. 66% of U.S. population is fully vaccinated. Nearly 31% have received booster. Okay, so they're still reporting on it, but it's not like it used to be, right? So is this like, I saw the memes come through the internet last year where they, you know, there's a picture of an Amish dude or whatever, an Amish lady, and it says, you know, we don't have coronavirus because we don't have TV. And then you've seen them too, the memes with the homeless people. The homeless population has not been ravaged by coronavirus. That's been documented. It's been in the news. And so I saw the memes, you know, well, we don't have coronavirus because we don't have TV. And so I'm wondering, since it's kind of moved on to the back pages, I suppose, metaphorically speaking, we don't do newspapers anymore, but it's been moved off with Ukraine, with the especially this Supreme Court thing. I'm starting to see a lot of stories about the midterm elections and Biden's poll numbers, which are the worst, I guess, we've ever seen. Worse than Trump, worse than Carter. Those type of figures, Biden is beneath them. And so coronavirus has kind of moved off. But we're still seeing these infections and we're still looking at these surges. And I'm just wondering if you agree with me. Is the coronavirus hasn't changed, but the coverage has at 490-5858 or 800-776-5858. So I'm looking at this CNN article right now. This Dr. So-and-so, the White House COVID-19 response coordinator, confirmed. So the administration is warning of, remember when they warned of the long, cold winter? This is now the, they've got another one, the projection. Oh, what is it? They said that we're going to have a really difficult surge and a very difficult fall and winter. They said that whether that happens or not is largely up to us as a country. That's their quote. He goes on to say, we're looking at a range of models, both internal and external models, and that what they're predicting is that if we don't get ahead of this thing, we're going to have a lot of waning immunity. This virus continues to evolve, and we may see a pretty sizable wave of infections, hospitalizations, and deaths this fall and winter. So we're in the midst of this now, though. It says, the article goes on to say, already cases of COVID-19 are rising again. Infections are up more than 50% compared with the previous week in at least 8 states. But they're saying the virus is going to infect 100 million Americans this fall and winter. And the White House is warning. Says when we talk about severe outcome, we know that the vaccines are working. They're holding up really well against the most severe outcomes, which is hospitalization, ICU level care, and death. At the same time, we want to make sure that there's also funding in place where pharmaceutical companies can invest in the vaccines. So that's what this is about. At least this article. They're going after some money. They need some money. And so the administration is back out and they're trying to stir it up a little bit more because there's some money about to change hands. And by change hands, I mean from the taxpayer, from the government treasury to the corporations that do the vaccines, the big pharma. This is interesting here from this spokesperson. It says, at the same time, I think it's just as important that people realize we're still in a pandemic. As much as we don't want to be in one, that is the reality. And it's not just shaped by what's happening here in the U.S. It's also shaped by what's happening around the world. And we're seeing more and more of these subvariants pop up, both here in the U.S. as well as around the world. It's just important that people realize that it's not over until it's over all around the world. We need to just continue to be cautious. I think that we can do all the things we love doing, but doing so in a safer manner, knowing that there's much more virus in the community. And so that's what's going on. Hey, let's go to the phones. Let's find out. I'm curious what your experience is with this. Am I right? So clearly the government says, yeah, it's still going on. It's burning. It's crazy. It's everywhere. But what? People are just ignoring it? People are just living with it. Oh, wait. We're doing what Sweden did 2 years ago when they did not destroy their country. Jason in Fresno on line one. Welcome to KMJ.
Yes, Clint, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Awesome. Thank you for taking my call. So, Clint, I think you're kind of hitting the nail on the head here, and I actually want to take you back to a couple of weeks ago when Dr. Anthony Fauci held one of his infamous press conferences and basically stated that Americans can feel like we can come out of the pandemic phase of COVID-19 because hospitalization rates were low, positive case numbers were down enough to where everyone was traveling again, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then, Clint, less than 3 days after he made that statement, he walked back everything that he entirely said and stated, well, no, we still need to be conscientious of this. We still need to be scared of this. We still need to get vaccinated, this and this and that and that. So I found that rather interesting that less than 72 hours after Dr. Fauci came out and claimed that we could be out of the pandemic phase of this, he turns right around and says, nope, we still have a lot to worry about. So, again, I think you're hitting the nail right on the head that the coverage is still pretty much the same, even though it feels like we're starting to kind of get forward on this a little bit and we're getting back to our normal way of life. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate it. Jason, Paul in Santanella, you stay on the phone. Give me about two more minutes. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and get to your call. Hey, you know what? I appreciate that. I think I'm right about this, too. I think I'm right about it. How often am I right? I don't know. I would like to think all the time. Just depends on who you ask. Some people would say, well, Clint, he's never right. 490-5858-800-776-5858. It's Clint in for Ray on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
Right now,
the Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
Yeah, I've got these really long, really skinny legs, and they get cold. And so, I mean, I've been in this studio hundreds upon hundreds of times, and this morning it was so cold, I thought, well, I'm going to bring my blankie and bundle up in here. And it was a great move. I mean, there's something to be said for these people that carry around blankets and stuffed animals and stuff, because I feel so calm in here. Sometimes I really panic when I'm on the air. Oh, gosh, what am I going to talk about? Or why isn't anybody calling? And now I have this blanket and I don't care. It's a security blanket and I just invented it. So anyway, feeling very good. Want to finish up this hour with coronavirus. And we've got Paul calling all the way from Santanella on the phone on line two. Paul, welcome to KMJ. What's your take on this?
Hey, Clint. First of all, someone was saying that you're affiliated or past baseball.
Affiliated with what on baseball? I've never played the game. I'm just a super fan.
Okay, you and I also anything baseball, and I appreciate your work with the business outfit that you're working with. Anyway, my wife works in Palo Alto or Mountain View. She's with housekeeping at a hospital, and she said that there are some coronavirus people coming in lately. And they were talking, and she was saying that some of the people that are coming in were saying that that they think that they got it from people that work for them at their residence or around that. So that being said, it's just common sense to me. And, you know, I don't like to beat up on any particular group of people for any reason. But if you don't seal the border, that's what it comes back to. All these people coming in here that aren't being checked, that are being spread all over the nation. You can surmise that it's being spread that way. Number two, I don't believe a darn thing that Fauci says. He said one thing, 72 hours, he changes it. It's all about talking points, and the election is coming up. So, you know, they're digging and moving and saying whatever needs to be said. I've heard you often, never called in when you're on there, but 97% of the time when you're on, I agree with everything you say.
Paul, that makes you my favorite caller of the day and maybe my favorite caller ever. I really appreciate this call. Please call in anytime. I know that Ray or anybody else here at KMJ would love to have you on. You know, it's kind of interesting what's happening out there. And I do love to hear the stories from the folks who are healthcare professionals or work in hospitals, and sometimes they tell different stories than what we're being told in the news. I want to get back to this CNN article here. It says this is the final interview question. It says, anything else you'd like to add? And the guy, this is from the White House, he's from the CDC. Says the White House is in a very tough position. They are fighting for more funding. Ding, ding, ding. They're making it very transparent that they are very concerned. They want to make sure that people understand that this is no joke. That 100 million number is a very large number. And so it's really important that Congress understands that we are still in the pandemic, even though a lot of folks have put the pandemic behind them. You know, we could go back very, very quickly to the state we were in just a few months ago with Omicron, with significant numbers of Americans getting infected. We don't want to go back to that state, right? This is the guy. I'm reading his quote in a very, like, it's almost like this quote is bullying. Listen to it again. We don't want to go back to that state, right? So we're making sure Congress understands that this is really important for them to continue funding. Funding what? Transferring money over to Big Pharma, and they're already up to the fourth dose, and ugh. What I kind of get, and the guy, you want to know who the guy was? It is, I want to tell you who that was. This is the Dr. Ashish Jha, the White House COVID-19 response coordinator. It's almost as if they're in a panic. It's almost as if that they're, oh no, can't let this one go. Can't, oh no, abortion. No, we can't let abortion push coronavirus out of the headlines. We got to stick to this. So it's almost as if, because I've got other stories, other story ideas, but we're going to be talking baseball with Derek Franks from the Grizzlies here in the 12 o'clock hour. I'm going to try and ease you into the week. But I've got all kinds of stories. It's almost as if things are so rotten out there. Things are so tough for people who are choosing between gas and groceries and inflation, and now there's no baby formula on the shelves. I mean, the whole joint is a disaster right now. You're dealing with it. I'm dealing with it. We're all dealing with it. And these guys know that they are going down in November. These guys are going to get wiped out worse than 94, the Newt Gingrich group. They're going to get wiped out worse than we've ever seen them get wiped out before. And so, oh yeah, we've got the abortion thing, and we got to keep pushing the coronavirus thing and the Ukraine thing. Not a whole lot of people are really interested in that anymore. So we are going to scare people that the whole sky is going to fall because of the Supreme Court. And then just to kind of backstop that, we've still got the coronavirus, and the coronavirus is coming back. You guys got to panic. We're not panicking. The KMJ listeners are more discerning and more intelligent than the average bear. So we are not panicking. We're going to talk some baseball for an hour and enjoy life a little bit. And I promise you, if you're an NFL person or you like the NBA, whatever, stay here, because it's still going to be good conversation, even if baseball isn't your favorite sport. It should be, but even if it's not, we're going to have a nice conversation. Derek Franks from the Grizzlies is here, and I can't wait to come back on the other side of this. We've got some words for you, and we've got the news, and then Clint back in for Ray on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.